I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be in the house of God this morning, to know that we are children of God, assurance of salvation. I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, particularly verse 13 for a text verse, but we'll look at the first 23 verses, Lord willing. Hebrews 10, verse 13 says, "From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." I've titled the message this morning, "Expecting." How many of you are expecting this morning? Mike could be taking it the wrong way, but I had to think of Justin and Heidi. They were expecting a baby. Well, their expectations were arrive a little sooner than what they had expected. But we praise God in that for little Cody and how God has worked in that and the healing he has brought. And we rejoice with you. I'm not exactly sure when he should have been here, according to our thoughts, but we're glad that he's already here. And God bless you in that journey. So what are we expecting this morning? Brother Mike, in his prayer, asked for the Holy Spirit to flow amongst us. Are we expecting that? Expecting that God will download revelations into us? Not because I'm talking, but because God is faithful. And God is interested in the needs that we have. And God wants to meet those needs. God is faithful. And he will meet the need of every person that is here this morning. As we surrender ourselves to him, I like that verse on the board, that prayer is an altar for surrender, a place we go to hand everything over to God. Are we willing to do that this morning? I hope we are. Trust we are. I have a little something here I'm going to pass out for illustration a little later. I'd like for each of you to take one of these. As to how small a child you want to have, but it could be, get it in the wrong place, it could be a problem. It's just a little fishing weight, but keep those, and Lord willing, we'll come back to that a little later on. Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 10. He says, "For the law," and we notice the word "for," so when he says that, we need to go back just a little bit earlier. If we go to verse 24, there's another four there, but we'll go from there down. He says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places, made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and of them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So he's saying there's only going to be one judgment, and in that same way, Christ also was once offered to bear the sin of many, just one time, one sacrifice. And he says, "For the law having a shadow," this is talking about the Mosaic law, and a lot of types and figures and shadows were in the Mosaic law that pointed forward to Christ, the promise of the coming Christ, "having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? That is a question. In other words, if they would have been working and doing what they should have been, or what the full intent was to make the comers thereunto perfect, we would still be doing those sacrifices, those offerings for our sin. Because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But the sins just continued," is what he's saying. They were there every year. It's like if you would go once a year and you would come and offer your sacrifice for sin, but your sins from the previous years would be there again, and you'd have to offer for those sins again, and your sins just kept on piling up into a bigger and a bigger pile.
But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. That's what I was just saying. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, this is Jesus speaking, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So the question to us to entertain this morning is, what are we expecting? And we look, we see how Jesus came to this point of expectation. It was by laying down his will. By being willing to do the will of God. By coming to God in prayer and surrendering to God and saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. So when we look at our lives this morning, what do we see? Are we seeing in our lives the things that we expect to see? The things that we want to see? The things that we want God to see this morning? You know, we were gone last week, and when we came home, looked down at our garden, and it was quite dismayed because I had tilled that garden the week before, and now there were weeds, grass in there like 18 inches high. You know, with all the moisture and the warmth we've had, that grass just came up. And we went out to get our sweet corn. The sweet corn was past ripe in some places, and coons had gotten probably 90% of it. So we had to go out and, you know, salvage what little bit we had. But that is a very typical example of what happens to our lives when we let our lives go. And, you know, the devil comes in to steal, to kill, and destroy. And our lives will grow up into weeds if we neglect those things and we just let those things go. And I think a lot of that has to do with our will, with surrendering our will to God. You know, what do we expect when we give God this little piece of our lives? Do we expect God to take care of the rest of it if we don't give it to him? Or do we expect God to somehow come into the garden of our lives and to take over and do the things for us? Are we waiting until we feel led to do something about the mess in our lives? So that's what I'd like for you to do this morning. Look at this little thing that we passed out and feel that. Anyone know what this is probably made of? Lead, okay, feel that thing really good right now. So now when you look at your life and you think about the mess in your life, you have felt lead. And it's time to get up and do something, is what God is saying. You have felt lead, and every time you think about that, you're not sure you feel lead, you know, feel this thing, and remember, you have felt lead. You have felt lead to get out and to take authority over the mess in your lives and allow God to come in and clean that up as you surrender it to him. You know, you may not feel led to surrender, but God is calling us today to come and surrender our lives to him. God's will is that we give our lives to him. You know, we don't have to feel led to come in and look at our lives in accordance with the word of God and allow God to come in. And he's not just going to come and just do it for us. We have, first of all, we have to have the will. We have to have the desire. And in Philippians, it talks about how that God gives us both the will and the ability to do the things that God, that are the good pleasure of God. So you do think when God comes and he looks at our garden, the garden of our life, like I came home, I looked down at our garden, I had no pleasure in what I was seeing. I was dismayed. And I think that's the way God looks at it. Sometimes when he comes and looks at our lives and he sees the weeds that have grown up, he sees the things that Satan has destroyed, and he doesn't have any pleasure in that. But when he comes to a garden, he sees a garden that is tilled, that is taken care of, that is surrendered to him, and is cleaned up, it is surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, and is free from sin and the pain that we have in our hearts. We have brought that to the cross. We have surrendered that to Jesus Christ. And we have worked through that. We have brought the fears that we have to Jesus Christ. And God didn't give us a spirit of fear. I appreciated that message this morning. But God gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is what God gave us. And it's up to us to take authority and to come into that garden and declare this area of our lives right here as belonging to God, as belonging to us, belonging to Jesus Christ. And say, I'm going to surrender this area to God and we get rid of the weeds in that. We give that over to God and God cleans that out. He gives us the power, the ability to do it. He gives us the will to do it, to take back the ground that the enemy has taken and to surrender that to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to clean that up, to give us the power to clean that up. So what do we expect this morning? When we just give a little part of ourselves to God, we expect God to do something with that? To do something with the rest of our lives that we haven't given over to God? Let's go on and read. He says, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." The Bible tells us that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that it is the earnest of our inheritance that God has given to us. So the Holy Ghost is here as bearing witness with us that we have the power that God has given us. And when I think of those words, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like to think of power as being the Father. God gives us power. He gives us victory. And in love, we think of Jesus Christ. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus has done for us. And then we think of a sound mind. We think of the Holy Spirit who is our comfort. He is our teacher. He guides us in all truth. He gives us a sound mind. He helps us to understand the Word of God. When we come to reading the Word of God, we can't understand it unless we have the Holy Spirit. So today we are in this era where we have the covenant that God made with us, with His people. He said, "I will put My laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them." So we have no excuse, we have no reason to not get up and do something about the mess in our lives because we have all the tools we need. You know, and Satan is trying hard to come into churches today and destroy that spirit because he wants to bring in the spirit of religion, he wants to bring in a spirit of fear, he wants to bring in a spirit of hopelessness, he doesn't want us to have hope, he wants us to be destroyed, ultimately. And even a born-again believer, I believe Satan has access into lives. If we're not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, we open doors, Satan comes in, he holds us in bondage with fear and with selfishness and with pride and lust. He holds us in bondage and we don't give those areas over to God. What else do we expect but that our gardens are going to be a mess and that the coons are going to come in and eat our sweet corn? But when we give it over to God, and we go in and we take back that ground and we say, "I will," you know, that sounds prideful, but it's not. When we say, "I will ascend into the hill of the Lord. I will allow God to take control of my life. I will surrender my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart is set on doing whatever Jesus Christ wants me to do. My life is not mine anymore, but it belongs to Jesus Christ. It is His will. It is not my will anymore." And when we do that, we can expect completely different results. You know, had someone been at home and taken care of our garden last week, it might have been too rainy or whatever, but we could have expected a different result. We could have expected sweet corn instead of a bunch of ears that were torn down and eaten by the coons. We could have expected a garden that was tilled and well kept because it was kept in authority. And we have that authority today. Galatians 4, we had just the other Sunday in our Sunday school lesson. It talks about a child, when before he's come of age, is just like a servant, even though he is Lord of all, and he is under governors and tutors until the time appointed. Let me tell you this morning, friends, our time is appointed. We are sons. Now you might say, "Well, I'm a daughter." Well, God says, "Come out from among them, and I will receive you, and you shall be My sons and daughters." But in the spirit realm, in our spirit, there is no gender. So in that sense, we are all sons. And the time is now to come and take authority and to take our sonship and to say, "Devil, I'm not going to take anymore. I'm going to stand in the authority that Jesus Christ has given me as a son. I'm going to be the person that Jesus has called me to be, that God's who God says I am. And I'm going to stand and I'm going to take back that ground. I'm going to make a line here. And I'm going to take ground to that end. And then I'm going to make another line. I'm going to take that ground. I'm going to keep going until I have everything back where God wants me to be, where I'm in the perfect will of God." And when we do that, we can expect completely different results in our lives than when we just have this little area that we have and, well, God, you can have this, but all this other stuff here, no, that's too hurtful. I'm too afraid. I can't go into that. And we don't surrender that to God. The devil's purpose and aim is to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it's up to us. And the key is our will. And you have an engine out there in your vehicle. There is power under that hood, but your will is the key to start that. There is power. You have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Ghost. You have all the power. We have all the power we need. The only thing we lack is the resolve, the will, to step out and say, I will. I will give my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will surrender everything I have to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I am a son, and I have authority in Jesus Christ. Verse 18, it says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. He says, I won't remember the sins of iniquities no more. This morning we sang the song, Hallelujah for the Blood. And that is wonderful. When we think of the blood, Hallelujah for the Blood, what do you think about? I think about the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that his blood was shed for my sin, that I could be set free. And that is wonderful. The psalmist says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's wonderful. We need that. Without that, we can't move on into the next step. Recently, I was made aware of a song, Hallelujah for the Cross. Well, do we like the cross? We like the thing of grace, of freedom, of free grace, something that is given to us. Hallelujah for the blood. Yes, we love that. But what about Hallelujah for the Cross? What does the cross mean? It's an instrument of death. Death to what? Death to self. It is where we come and we die to ourselves and we give Jesus all our fear, all our pain. And in exchange for that, we receive power, we receive love, we receive healing, and we move forward in resurrection of life to the life that God wants for us, to the life of surrender, a life of dedication. When we have the joy of the Lord, it gives us strength to walk in our own life and to be the person God created us to be. But that joy doesn't just remain here. That joy comes out of us and it goes out and it empowers people around us where people look at you and you say, I want what he's got. I want what she's got. To see the joy of the Lord coming out of you. That is power. That is God's intent. That is what God wants. That is why God says, Jesus said that, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. When people look at a church and they see that we love each other, there's a power that goes out from that, and God receives the glory. Without Jesus, we can do nothing, but in Christ, we can do all things because he strengthens us. And I think sometimes our lack of victory is because of our view of the devil. How big is the devil? I think the devil is only as big as what we make him in our minds. Because think about who we serve. The Almighty God. You know, when we think the devil is so big and so powerful, and that's what he wants you to think, that you can't have victory, what do you expect? But a garden that is grown up with weeds, a life that is overcome. But when we see the devil, well, let's look at Isaiah 14, verses 15 and 17. He says, yet, this is right after Satan said, I will exalt myself, I will do this, I will do that, I will be like the Most High and all that. Right after that it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Really? He's just a little fella. And it says they shall look narrowly on him, which means to glance at him sharply and stare at him. Really? Was that really the guy? I mean, you could just stomp him under your foot with the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. And he is controlling our lives today? God forbid. The key is our will. So when we see the devil as that big guy, that big bully, well, yeah, what else do you expect? but that life looks hopeless, that you have no power. But when we see him as a little fellow that God has already destroyed, Jesus already destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed the works of the devil in your life. And all it's up for us to do is to resolve that I will take back my life. I will take back the ground that Satan has stolen. And God will restore the keys to us. He will give us the power. It's amazing what happens when we surrender our will to God and we come to God in complete surrender and we say, God, it's not my life, but it's yours. And the empowerment that we get and the momentum that we can have in going forward and how fast we can reclaim ground when we're willing to go all out. So when we put in just a little bit of effort or just a little bit of will into it, what can we expect but just a little bit of victory? But when we put in everything we've got, we put in all of our will, our whole resolve, our whole life is consumed by this passion. I'm going to go after Jesus Christ with all my heart. I'm going to give my life completely to him. We can expect a completely different outcome. We can expect victory. He says, having therefore, brethren, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, we have that high priest, Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And when we begin to see God as such, you know, when we look at God and we come to God in prayer, how do we look at God? I was reading a book recently, The Secrets of a Prayer Warrior by Derek Prince. And he said that in his mind, he would have viewed God as a schoolmaster that was sitting there and you would come to him and he'd be all stern like, you know, what have you done now? That kind of thing. And he said, in order for us to come to God in the assurance of faith, we must have a different perspective, a different view of who God is. Brother Elmer shared here several Sundays ago about the prodigal son and how the prodigal son was received when he came back from his fling. He came back saying, I'll be your servant. He was surrendered. And how did the father receive him? He came running to meet him. He got him with acceptance, with open arms. And he said, you're not my servant. You're my son. And he said, put on the best robe and bring the fatted calf, kill the fatted calf, and we'll rejoice, we'll have a feast. Because my son has come back. He was lost and he's found. And that's the way our Father meets us. He is just waiting with anticipation for you to turn to him and surrender your life to him and say, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to yield my life to you. I'm going to let you have control. And he says, you are my son. And he gives you that white robe of righteousness. Lester, what was that term that you said in Sunday school class about Oswald Chambers said about a white...
White funeral,
that's right. Having a white funeral, you know, where... And I thought of the white robes of righteousness. When you die to self, when you come to the truth at the foot of the cross, and by the way, this is a different cross. The cross of salvation has a crucified Savior. But the cross where we come to, dying to self, is a cross of truth. Where we align all the things in our hearts and our lives, the pain, the fear that we have, we bring all those things to the truth, and we allow Jesus to heal the pain, we allow Jesus to take care of the fear, and we exchange that pain for healing, and we exchange the fear for power, for love, and we rise up a resurrected person with a robe of righteousness, a son, and we rise in resurrection and newness of life, renewed in the spirit of our mind, having on the new man, which is created in true holiness and righteousness, God says. Quite a different outcome than when we come shrinking and say, you know, I'm not sure if God will accept me. I'm not sure that maybe I sin too much and God won't receive me. Well, what did the father say to the prodigal son? He didn't say anything about his sin. He looked at his heart and he saw his heart was surrendered. It was yielded. And he just accepted him just the way he was. And he gave him that sonship. And he gave him that white robe. And he made a feast for him. That is our Father. So if we want to expect a different outcome, I believe we must change our view of the devil and of God. of Jesus Christ. And when we do that and we come to surrender to God, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we can expect a different outcome in our lives. We can expect victory. We can expect power. Because God is faithful. He says here, faithful is he that promised. We can draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, knowing that God will meet us there. Jesus will meet us there. He'll take care of all the problems that we have, and he will bring healing. He will bring strength. Just use that key, your will, and start that engine. Turn on that power. Right now, we are in a position of sorrow in some way with the passing of Simon. What do we expect when we go through times of sorrow and of pain, of tribulation, of trial? You know, I say this is quite a bit different than it was last November when Sheila passed. We were expecting this. We know that Simon was ready to go. We know that Arlene has already passed on. But it's still hard for the family. You know, with Sheila, we know she was ready, but she was young, you know, the prime of her life. What do we expect when we go through times like that? Recently, I was talking to Eli King, Dorcas' father, and he was telling me about a man that he knew that had lost his wife. He remarried, and he lost that wife. And then somewhere in there, he lost 3 of his 6 children. And someone asked him, how do you cope with that? And, you know, he said, you just expect God's grace. So for you Yoder family this morning, as you go through this, just expect God's grace through this. He is faithful. And you, Mike and Virginia and Kathleen, Nathan, Maria, the things you're going through, it's been now, 8 months or so? Expect God's grace every day. He is faithful. Back to hallelujah for the blood versus hallelujah for the cross. When we have the hallelujah for the blood and we're all excited about the joy of our salvation, that is wonderful. It is good. It is well, and it is good. And God wants us to have that. God wants us to have that joy, but there's more to it. There's a lot more to it. You know, when we have that joy, it's a good thing. But it doesn't bring us to the place of surrender where we hand everything over to God. We can have salvation and be seated in the heavenly realm with the Father without surrendering everything. You know, we give a part of ourselves, we cry out to Jesus our Savior, but then, and we're justified. And our spirit, God puts his spirit within us, our spirit is seated in the heavenly realm with God. But then God begins his sanctification process, and that is not so nice. That is the part where we must come to the foot of the cross and we must surrender. Yield to the truth, whatever God has for us. And out of that life, out of that surrender, I should say, comes a life, a newness of life, a walk with the Lord that is a walk of power and of victory, and that is a walk of helping others to freedom in Jesus Christ. And that, I believe, is our work. And I say this, when we come to that point where we yield our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we surrender everything we have to him, and it is no longer about me being saved. And we're like Moses was when God was wanting to destroy the people. Moses said, don't destroy these people. What are these nations are going to say? He said, take my name out of your book of life, but save the people. And when we have that spirit, and that spirit, I believe, only comes from God. That is the same spirit that Jesus had when he went to the cross, laying down his life for the people. Greater love hath no man this, that a man lay down his life for his friend or even his enemy. That spirit came from God, and that spirit comes to us from God when we surrender our lives And God helps us to see that this whole thing is way bigger than us. It's way bigger than my salvation or your salvation. It's about others. And that's empowering. So as we look at our lives this morning and we see areas of failure, areas of lack of victory, do you want change? How many of you want change? How many of you want something better? More? And I've had this burning on my heart for the last, I'm not sure how many years, that there's something more than what we're experiencing. And I believe God is giving us that. I believe we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg of what God is going to do as we surrender our lives to Him. Lock, stock, and barrel. The whole nine yards given to God and what God will do in our lives as we do that. How many of you believe that, you know, and I teach this from 1 John 3, where it says that whosoever sinneth is of the devil. It says he that sinneth not is born of God, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. How many of you believe that God is able to keep you from sinning? All right, and I like to, you know, think of that, and I'm not saying this is right, that whosoever is born of the devil is the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Whosoever is born of God is a new man. And I've already said, if we could walk in the new man 24/7, we could never sin, right? So, can we? Can we walk in the new man 24/7? I think so. If we say we can't, we are limiting God, right? All it takes is our will. Surrender. Give the key, turn that key in that ignition and turn on that power and move forward. Take back that life. And God receives the glory. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. But with me, he says, I can do all things. All things are possible through Christ. Okay, I'd like to close a little bit with the thoughts of eternal life. What do we expect when we come to the end of our life, like Simon just did yesterday? The end of life here. Because it's not the end of life, is it? Jesus said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Do you believe God? It's a promise that God made. If we believe, we will never die. She says to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So we come to the end of life with a life that is, we come to the end of physical life, this natural life, with our hearts yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ, his life within us, our spirit seated in the heavenly realm. What do we expect but eternal life? Because that's what God promised. And we receive, we know who we are in Christ. We are sons. And we can claim that promise that he says, I will give you eternal life. You will never die. That's what we can expect. That's what we expect for Simon. Was Simon's life perfect? No. But he believed God. He believed the blood of Jesus. And when we come on those premises, we have that promise that we can have eternal life. So back to the garden just a little bit. The amount of surrender is going to determine your amount of victory. The amount that you give over your will is the key to how much victory you have in life. You want victory? Give surrender. Resolve. I will. I will have victory. I will take back my life out of the hands of the devil. Because God has given me the power through Jesus Christ. Not me, but Jesus, but God. I'd like for us to sing the song, thinking of eternal life and of Simon's passing. I'd like to sing the song, What a Day That Will Be. I think we probably know that by heart. Shall we sing? There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky. Let's kneel for prayer.